Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Another iconic Boston restaurant's closing, Top of the Hub in the Prudential Center, will shutter permanently along with the Prue's Skywalk Observatory in April. The people behind the restaurant say business has been strong, but the owners of the space, Boston Properties, just decided not to renew their lease. Top of the Hub's closure follows that of other historic eateries, including Durgan Park, No Name Restaurant, Doyle's Cafe, Anthony's Pier 4. So how is the restaurant scene in Boston changing, and what does it mean to lose a place like Top of the Hub? We want to hear from you. Give us a call and share your thoughts. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Meanwhile, here in Studio 3, to help us talk about it is Irene Lee, co-owner and head chef of the May May Restaurant Group. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
We also have on the line Mary White. She's an anthropology professor who thinks about food at Boston University. Mary, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So let me start with you, Irene. What was your initial reaction when you heard that Top of the Hub was closing?
I think my initial reaction was that I'm not sure that I've ever been there. And so I had to call my mom and say, hey, when I was little, did we ever actually go to Top of the Hub? And the answer is yes. But the truth is I have not been there in over two decades.
And it sounds like you don't remember going there.
Exactly. So either. I think that, you know, that might be the case for a lot of Bostonians, although there have been many who have said that this is a very sad time and they remember their special occasions there.
Mary, you chuckled as soon as you heard Irene say, my first reaction is I don't think I've ever been there.
Yes, I chuckled because I do think it's generational. And I think at the Top of the Hub became iconic for people who've been around a longer time. And maybe I haven't been there for 20 years, but I certainly was there as a younger person. And it did become a place where you went for a birthday or an anniversary or to propose to someone, you went for the view. I think the reason it's an icon is much more about the view than the food. And, it could be about the drink. It was a place to have a celebratory toast. I remember once about, gosh, can I say this, 40 years ago.
You certainly can say it.
I've said it. About 40 years ago, some friends and I decided we'd do a progressive dinner at Boston restaurants. So in those days, that meant a course here, a course there, and the restaurants didn't like it very much, but it was a trend. So we thought we'd start at Top of the Hub because then we'd get this overview of the whole city, 360 degrees, and we'd be able to sort of spot where we're going to have the first course, second course, dessert. You know, we were going to move around that view. We got up there, about a dozen of us, and it was fogged in. There was no view at all. But we still drank a lot and had a wonderful time it was there.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What's your story of the special occasion going up to the Top of the Hub? Or was the Top of the Hub, as a fairly high-priced fine dining place, someplace that was never accessible to you, and therefore the view of Top of the Hub wasn't accessible to you either? We've got Stephen on the line from Wakefield. You're going to share a memory, aren't you, Stephen?
Yes.
Please do.
Yeah, so I actually proposed to my wife at Top of the Hub back in 2015, and I'm really bummed that it's closing. I actually had the proposal written out on a plate of cookies that the waiter brought out, and I really cherished that moment.
I'm sorry it's going away for you, Stephen, but I'm glad that she said yes, because you did say she's your wife now.
Yes, definitely.
So, Irene, so we've established that maybe it's someplace people don't regularly go. But that it is a kind of a destination place. What does it mean to lose an icon like that, even if it's an icon that people like to know is out there but didn't actually go to?
Well, I think it means something different for all the Bostonians. Of course, I think it was frequented also by tourists. So that means that tourists might have to find some other way either to get up to the Prue. Boston Properties, the landlord, says they're going to open something new and exciting. So they're keeping the view, just replacing maybe whatever the attraction is. But I don't know. I think for me and in my circles and the folks I'm listening to, Top of the Hub just wasn't particularly relevant to us.
So and I really, think that, you know, as Mary says, a generational thing.
Yeah, and I also think that you know, we are coming to equate luxury with specialness a little bit less now. And so I think that a lot of diners are looking for experiences that are more personal, feel more intimate, where they have a connection with the restaurant or the chef. And I personally don't have a deep connection with Seafood Towers. But I think that, you know, when we think about a special occasion, I think that's changing.
So, Mary, what does the closure mean for the fine dining, that traditional white napkin fine dining scene in Boston?
You know, I think that the Top of the Hub, though it was glamorous, was not really ever about the food. I mean, if you look at the menu, it has been pretty consistent. Not that exciting, you don't. And so what it means for fine dining to have it disappear, I don't think it has much relevance. I think, you know, it's, you know, just look at the dress code, business casual. That does not feel very exciting. The shellfish platter, the oysters, that's what I would go for, is just the very simple things that say Boston. Boston has a lot of touchstone foods that aren't necessarily, especially what those of us who really care about food would go for. Lobster roll, sure, I'll go for the lobster roll. But I think for fine dining, we're all much more interested in interesting food, and that it wasn't.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Kristen's calling from Reading. Go ahead, Kristen.
Hi. So I actually grew up in New Hampshire, and for my senior high school prom, my date and I skipped the prom, and we went to Top of the Hub.
Was there a view that night?
Yes, it was absolutely gorgeous. It was so magical. It was way better than the prom.
That's great, Kristen. Thanks for the call. Let's take another one. We've got Diana on the line from East Boston. Go ahead, Diana.
Hi. I've been in the industry for a long time. I have worked in many restaurants, and I have friends that work there that have been working there for 20, 30 years, and no one talks about these employees. What's going to happen to them?
How are they feeling today, Diana? What have you been hearing?
They found out yesterday through a meeting that they were going to close, and the news already knew about it. And I don't think it's fair. I think these just restaurants go around and playing with people's lives. It's just no one talks about the effect on the employees, the effect on the people that have dedicated their whole life. Places like
this. That's such an important point, Diana. And we think there are about 200 employees who will lose their jobs. And if we're hearing that this type of cooking and serving is not in vogue anymore, one has to worry and think about how they are going to transition to other roles in the restaurant scene. Thank you for reminding us of that real human cost, Diana. Irene, you're nodding. You were nodding all the way through Diana's call.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that Diana brings up the staff. I think that, you know, some of the other restaurants that have closed recently have provided zero notice. And I think there are a lot of problems with that, obviously. So for me, I look at this and say, well, Top of the Hub gave them a few weeks at the very least. I mean, that's not a very high standard to hold an employer to.
Especially somebody who's worked there 20, 30 years. Maybe.
Absolutely. But hopefully, you know, we always talk about the labor shortage in our industry. And so it would be my hope that all of these great employees can find good homes in other restaurants.
So, Mary, this is one of a number of closings. I went through some of the list at the top. Durgan Park, No Name, Doyle's, Anthony's Pier 4. What is going on? Is this economic? Is it cultural? Is it, I mean, we've already talked about the fact that it's probably partly generational, but what else is going on here, Mary?
Well, I think we are losing something important. And I think I'm not exactly sure why. We don't have a lot of those reliable old school places where you could be a regular, you'd come in and the front of the house people would know you. I think those are the people who are going to regret the loss of this. The kinds of special event places that this represents, I think they're less available. They're much more expensive. You want a place like Frank's Steakhouse in North Cambridge, where, you know, you have this comfortable dark wood, comfortable banquets. You want a place like that, where you know you're going to be welcomed, everybody knows your name sort of place. Those are the ones. Doyle's has disappeared. And I think that we're going to find that you're going to have to make your own. I think Irene said this, that it's going to be a very individual, personal process of relocating your home base in food.
Let's grab another call here. We've got Andrea on the line from Cambridge. Go ahead, Andrea.
Yes, hi. So the building was completed in 1964. I was there, and the restaurant opened in exactly the time that the building was completed. It was so exciting. I was 14 years old at the time, and I and a couple of my friends took off school.
Took off in quotes, right, Andrea?
Yeah, and that was always the destination. And finally, my mother and father and brother agreed to take us to go out for dinner on Easter and have a wonderful meal at the Top of the Hub. And, okay, so we knew the views. We had those down. But you couldn't see out. Unless you had a table that was on the edge, you weren't anywhere that mattered. And the food was lousy. And I was only 15 years old, and I knew the food was lousy. I'm sorry. That's how it is.
All right. Let's take it from there. You know, let's talk about I'm going to stay off the food is lousy part. Although I think we have another caller who I'm not going to get to, who I know when he called in wanted to make clear that he thought the food was actually quite good and had enjoyed it. But I want to shift to this view conversation for a minute, because food is a very cultural experience for us. And we also know that we have a gentrifying Boston. One of the things that's interesting in reading the articles about this closing today is that people they speak about Top of the Hub as if it were a public space, because you could at least pay money for food or drink and go up there and have a view that otherwise is utterly exclusive in the city of Boston. But that drink is a $6.50 Bud Light. So is food becoming part of the gentrification of our city, Irene? And if so, how do we think about that?
I think that food can be a way to fight gentrification as much as it can be a tool of gentrification. I think when we see what's going on in the Seaport and in other neighborhoods where there's so many chain restaurants, and I think for me, I hope that gentrification is something that small, independent, mom-and-pop restaurants can keep fighting. That's my hope for our industry.
So, and then, well, Mary, let me ask if you have anything you want to add to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that gentrification is one of those words that has many meanings depending on who you are, of course. And I think if you find that the so-called gentry, the people who are moving in and supposedly have a little more available cash, are actually doing things that are not always the high-end white tablecloth restaurants. They're going for the $2 tacos at Taco Loco. They're going for they're going for neighborhoods that are still in process. And so I think it's not one thing. Yeah, this Seaport district, I mean, it's very hard to imagine that as a neighborhood with, you know, mom and pop shops. But people are moving into all kinds of neighborhoods now and appreciating what is local, what is the, you know, ethnic component of that neighborhood and its food. So I don't think gentrification is just one thing. But yes, I really hope that the chains are not going to dominate, you know, most of Boston now. It's extremely boring. It's like an airport.
So, Irene, what is the next big food trend, do you think, in Boston?
That's such a great question. I think that food that sort of helps people adhere to their dietary preferences or restrictions is, of course, becoming even more popular. For me personally, I love that there are more and more restaurants that I can go to and feel like I am in the chef's home, sitting at their table, really being in conversation with them and getting a sense of what their life experience is, where their family's from, how they grew up eating. And so I think for me, that's the most exciting thing. And certainly Top of the Hub was not a great example of that.
All right.
There's so many now.
Irene Lee, co-owner and head chef of the May May Restaurant Group, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Mary White, anthropology professor at Boston University, thanks to you too.
Thank you. And hi, Irene.
Hi, Mary.